So this is a very practical session to sort of wrap up our time together looking at the spiritual disciplines. And we want to look at the spiritual discipline of personal ministry, or the spiritual discipline of service, Christian service. And so I think the best place for us to start is to just try and define this. So I want to just work with this definition that when we talk about Christian service, or when we talk about personal ministry, I think, here we go, Jeff, it is the worship of God with our entire lives. It's as I talked about last night, I think it comes down to the very basic point of obedience to God. When we obey God, we're glorifying God. When we obey God, it's part of our worship to Him. And so, similar to all the other spiritual disciplines, personal ministry or serving others, that is part of really our whole entire life before God, glorifying Him, worshiping Him. And the service God calls us to is obedience that is motivated by faith in Christ and for what He has done for us. Listen to just some of the things that Scripture calls us to do as far as this serving. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. We are to serve God by praising Him with our words. Romans 15, 16. We are to serve God by gospel ministry. Romans 15, 27. We are to serve God by giving financially. Philippians 4, chapter 18. We are to serve God by serving one another there in that verse. So you can have a personal ministry of leading a Bible study or witnessing with others whom you know who are lost, who are in school. You can be striving to be a godly person and serving other people. But the different forms of personal ministry, the different forms of service, they all have this in common. You're seeking to glorify God. You're serving Him with the goal of glorifying Him through your service, through your personal ministry, how you minister, how you serve other people. So this is what we see, for example, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Paul writes this: "Therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So here, Paul is praying that God would enable the believers at this church in Thessalonica to, he says, fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. And this was to be so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. In other words, glorified in their service, that God might be glorified. So understanding the goal of Christian service and Christian ministry, personal ministry, I think that is absolutely vital. I mean, after all, if you think about it, think about serving others. Think about this personal ministry. A lot of times it's hard work. A lot of times it's hard work. It's difficult. A lot of times it often goes unappreciated. There can be times you are serving to the best of your ability, serving with the proper attitudes before God, and yet no one is noticing that. What you're doing. And so that can sort of allow pride to creep in. And you start asking the question, well, why is no one noticing what I'm doing? And I want to tell you, whenever we have two things creep into our lives, pride and laziness, those two things kill personal ministry. They kill Christian service. So if you don't have discipline, which again, this is why this is one of the spiritual disciplines. If you don't have discipline and you just, what will happen is you're just going to serve occasionally. You're going to serve when it's beneficial to you. You're going to serve whenever you want to, when it's convenient to you. However, it is a heartfelt desire to glorify God, to glorify the living God. That is what is to motivate our service. Not just can I do this if it fits into my schedule. Not if it's convenient to me. Not if I like the person I'm serving. No. What motivates our service is the absolute glory of God. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 11, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit." Now listen to this, serving the Lord. This word diligence he has here, it could be also translated as zeal, and it really comes from the word that we have for jealousy. And so to be diligent is to be serving God in such a way that you are jealous for His glory. And as you are jealous for His glory, that prompts you to serve Him energetically. It prompts you to serve Him enthusiastically, to do work and labor to glorify Him. And so this is the service that we are to render to God. Now, let me start off by asking this. Why should we serve? Very basic question, but why should we serve? We need to understand this. How can we rekindle or rekindle a passion for personal ministry and for serving God? I mean, what are some of the biblical exhortations? What are some of the biblical motivations for us to do so? So what I want to do is I want to give you just very briefly four biblical motivations for service. The first one, the most basic one, is obedience. Obedience. Moses writes this in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him." Why do we serve? Well, the most basic thing is we serve because God has commanded us to serve. That is why we serve. And so, therefore, we want to obey Him. We want to obey God. So, no believer is meant to just merely be sitting on the sidelines and watching others engage in the work of the kingdom. No, we're commanded to serve. And so, we are to obey God in this. So, we are to be serving. So, number one is obedience. Number two, another biblical motivation that we serve is gratitude. It's gratitude for what God has done for us. Listen to what Samuel writes. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. "Only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you." Listen, it is no burden to serve God when you remember what He's done for us. Very quickly, I just want to tell you this. My dad died last year. And my mom, for a while, came to live with us. She's back home. I'm originally from Mobile, Alabama, and so she's back home there. And I want to tell you, there, living with someone, I mean, it's no matter how much you love them, it's just hard, especially when you sort of have your own family and someone sort of outside the family comes back in. And there were some things I had to do to serve my mother. It would interfere with my schedule. You know, hey, listen, a pastor who's worth his salt is a busy pastor, right? And so it would cut into my schedule. It would cut into my time. I would have to stop certain things to help her, to be with her, to do certain things for her. And here's what I have discovered. As I served her, when I would start viewing it as an inconvenience, I would remember all the things she did for me. All the things she did for me. I mean, going through life, she sacrificed so much to help me and my sister. She worked at a plant where she sealed and packed Q-tips, medical Q-tips. And she did that so that me and my sister could have certain things that we needed. My dad was very old school. And if he didn't think we needed something, he'd just say, "Well, you wouldn't have it." You know, but then my mom would think that we did, and my dad would say, "Okay, well, if you want to get it for him, that's okay." And so she would do that. And listen, she'd be up like at 5 o'clock in the morning hanging clothes out on the clothesline before she went to work. All that sacrifice. And I want to tell you, when I started feeling inconvenienced having to do something for my mom, it only took me remembering that. And then guess what? My heart was totally turned. Now I wanted to go. I wanted to go and serve her. I wanted to go do something for her because I remembered everything she did for me. And so quite the same with the Lord. Remember what He's done for you and serve Him out of a heart of gratitude for what He has done. Just two verses later, Samuel reminds the Israelites that it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for Himself. And so it's the same thing for all of us who are God's people. From beginning to end, it is all of grace, as Spurgeon says. So whenever your heart grows cold and whenever you want to be a little selfish and you don't want to serve, just consider what great and wonderful things the Lord has done for you. And consider what He has done for you in Christ. And serve. Serve Him. Serve your neighbor. And do it lovingly out of a heart that is more than willing to do so based upon what has been done for you. So much has been done for you. Think about the example of Isaiah. I mean, just his willing service. Notice his response here. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. Once God had forgiven him, it says, "And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. The house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Listen, Isaiah was zealous to serve the Lord. And he didn't do it out of guilt because the Lord had removed his guilt. He did it out of gratitude because of what the Lord had done for him. So, if the Lord has done this for you, if the Lord has taken your guilt away, and of course He has, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then serve Him. Serve Him, obey Him, because He has cleansed you of your sin, He has cleansed you of your guilt, He has cleansed you of your shame. So, motivations to serve: obedience, first of all, gratitude, second. And then third, how about this motivation? How about gladness? Have you ever considered that? I mean, we sing the song, right? Well, maybe you're in a Reformed church. If you grew up in the Southern Baptist church, you grew up singing the song, "Serve Him with Gladness." And I won't sing it because I don't have a voice like Jeff's. But gladness is the motivation to serve. Meditating upon what God has accomplished through Christ for us, it not only fills us with gratitude, it not only fills us with joy, but it fills us with gladness. And so we rejoice as we remember what Christ has done. Christ in His person. Christ in His work for us. And we rejoice as we look forward to His second coming, when we will be glorified in Christ. This fills our hearts with gladness. This ought to be a great motivation for us to serve the Lord. Our personal ministry and our service to God should be characterized by joy. Not by grumbling, not by griping, not by complaining. Oh, I've got to go do this for this person now. There's a need here. Well, I know what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. Let me just go and get it over with. No, that shouldn't be our attitude. We should have gladness in our hearts. The psalmist writes, Psalm 100, verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Let me ask you this. Do you count it a privilege to serve God? If you do, then why not do it with gladness? I mean, not only do we rejoice in what God has done for us, but we also rejoice to see His work in causing other brothers in Christ, other sisters in Christ, to grow through our efforts as we serve Him, as we are obedient to Him in all that He has called us to do. So the spiritual fruit that God produces in the other lives of in the lives of other believers, it should bring joy to us. It should make us glad. So joy and gladness, they come together as we see other believers and what God is doing for them. They come together when we see other believers as we serve together with them for the sake of the gospel. Listen, that is probably the most sweetest type of fellowship that we can have with other believers, when we're serving together in the gospel. And that so much encourages our service to God. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul writes this: I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So, gladness of heart, joy in our hearts over what the Lord has done for us. That motivates us to serve Him. It motivates us to serve Him with joy. It motivates us to serve Him with gladness. And so these are some motivations for biblical serving. But I want to give you probably one of the chief motivations, the fourth motivation, and it is this: why do we serve? We serve because we love. We serve because we love. Love should be at the very heart of personal ministry. Love has to be at the very center of Christian service. Listen, any form of service, it would be absolutely hypocritical. It would be absolutely lifeless. It would be dreadful without love. But I want to tell you, love is what motivates. Love is what encourages us to serve God and to serve others enthusiastically and willingly and just absolutely unreservedly. Let me just break this down for you real quick. First of all, we're talking about love motivates us to serve. First of all, it's God's love for us. It's God's love for us, what He has done for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 say this: for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Listen, that is what motivated the Apostle Paul. It is knowing and understanding how he was loved by God that motivated Paul to give himself entirely to the work that God had laid out before him. It's because God loved him. And Paul realized that because the Lord Jesus Christ has died for me, I cannot live for myself. I have to live for my Savior. I have to live for Him. So this unchangeable love of Christ for His own people, it ought to stir us up to serve Him, to serve others. And just as His love never diminishes, it never decreases, it never declines for us, so therefore our own motivation for serving Him, for serving His people, it ought not to ever decrease. It ought not to ever decline. It ought not to ever grow small. So, love motivates us. What kind of love? Well, first of all, it's God's love for us. Second, it's our love for God. Our love for God encourages us to serve Him and to serve others. We already talked about this a little bit, but remember after His resurrection, again, the scene is the disciples and Jesus are on the beach. They're grilling up some fish for breakfast. The Lord asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes." And three times the Lord exhorts him to feed His sheep. So the question is, if the Lord asks you this, do you love me? And if you say yes, and then the Lord tells you, well then, do this. Serve this way. The question is, will you do it? Will you do it cheerfully? Will you do it persistently? Will you do it carefully? Will you do it out of a heart that does it because He has loved you? He has loved you. And then third, there is also our love for fellow believers. That ought to motivate us to serve them. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul writes this: for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ ought to be an active love, not just some type of passive love. And so how do we show our love for them? It's by serving them. I tried to think, is there any other way to show love other than serving? I mean, I racked my brain. I can't think of it. Any act of love that I can show toward a fellow believer in Christ is going to require me some type of service. Even if I'm just sitting in the chair and I'm praying for them, that's how I'm serving them. I'm lifting them up before the throne of grace. I'm praying for them. And so you can't show love outside of service. How can I say I love you and that have any meaning if I am unwilling to serve you in any way? It just falls flat on its face. So, if this is why we should serve, I want us to see now why every believer should serve. Because as believers, you need to understand this. We have all been given by the Holy Spirit of God what Scripture calls a grace gift. He sovereignly gifts us. He sovereignly equips each one of us with spiritual gifts. And what are we to do with those gifts? We are to serve God and we are to edify the body of Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 4 and in verse 11, there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So there are many different kinds, many different categories of gifts, but they all have one purpose. It's ministry to the body. It's service for the glory of God. Peter writes this, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, spiritual gifts. This is how we serve. This is why each one of us must serve. We've been equipped to serve. So now the next question that follows is, well, how do I find out what my spiritual gift is? Do I have to take one of these things that I've heard about, a spiritual gift inventory where I sort of fill out a worksheet and I kind of try to find out what my gifting is? How do we find out? Well, first of all, we start here. As I said before, if you are a believer, you have been given a gift by God. When the Holy Spirit came to reside within you, He came with a gift. Or gifts, or a combination of gifts. And you have been given those gifts for service. So, what is the best way to find out what is my gifting? I don't know what my gifting is. How do I go about finding out what it is? Well, first of all, study the Word of God. That's where everything starts. It all starts with the Word of God. The best way to discover and confirm your gifts is by understanding what are the spiritual gifts. And they're listed in various places in the Word of God. So understand those categories. And there are some that say, well, we have such a diversity in these different lists that basically these lists are not exhaustive. So there can be even other gifts that God has given to us. But look at what Scripture says as the gifts. And just look at those and understand those. And then I would submit to you, start serving. Just start serving. You know, it's like when we talk about the Puritans in our session on prayer. You know, when they said, pray until you pray, right? Well, talking about this, I would sort of mimic them. And I'd say, serve until you serve. I mean, just serve until you serve. Serve in all kinds of ways. Serve in all types of contexts until you discover yourself really serving. And instead of taking a spiritual gifts inventory to discover how you might ought to be serving, I think a very, very much more helpful way is just to go through this discovery of your spiritual gifting by considering the needs of others and just serving. And you'll start to find out, you'll start to see, it'll become evident to you, where do you especially have joy in service? We should do all of our service with joy and gratitude, right? But as far as our gifting, where do you especially have joy? Where are you especially maybe proficient? Your skill. Where with other things you have difficulty, with this you gravitate toward it. And there's a certain amount of proficiency and skill God has given you to do to be able to accomplish it. My wife has the gift of health. I don't think I necessarily have that as far as just practical service, but her radar is always up for needs, and so she complements my ministry that way. And so it's not to say that you can't ever do those things. You know, when we go to serve, maybe one of our shut-ins where we'll go, and from time to time, you know, she will. April has a little business of cleaning houses, and so she'll go there and she'll just clean their house, not for any money, but just simply to serve them because she has that gift of health. I'll go over there. I don't have the gift of health, so I can't help as well. I can't clean as well. I can't do any of that as well. But I'm over there trying. I'm over there trying to serve to the degree that I can. But here I am serving as one who I believe does not have that gifting, serving alongside someone I believe who does have that gifting. So how do you find out what your gifts are? Well, you start serving. Well, what are the needs of God's people here? How can I love them? How can I serve them? How can I meet those needs? And therein, I believe, you will discover how God has gifted you and graced you to be able to especially serve and encourage and edify the body. So real quick, as we wrap it up, what are some practical ways we can serve? Well, the first thing that came to my mind is be looking at your church announcements in the bulletin. They're always listed there, at least in ours, just very, very practical ways to serve other people, things you can do for other people. So consider that a source. Another suggestion, get with the deacons. Tell them, hey, you guys are the ones who are the examples of service in the church. I want to serve. I want to have personal ministry to other people. I want to serve other people. Can you help me? Can you guide me in doing that? And there's so many categories for serving. I mean, you think about the needs of a church. Think of the website. I'll just list down a few here. Website, bookstall, childcare, children's ministry, hospitality, library, member care, ordinances, ushers, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The list could go on. So many ways to serve. How about this? How about just serving others by encouraging them? How about calling up one of your friends that you know is going through a particularly difficult time and just trying to encourage them with the word? Serve them that way. How about this? To the degree that you can, being your age, with your parents' permission, how about hospitality? How about bringing a lost friend into your home, maybe a friend that's in a broken home, and you know the way they've never even seen one time of what true godly parenting looks like. They see their parents and their disaster. They watch sitcoms Monday through Friday on TV, and you know the mom, without the mom everything falls apart, and dad's just a spiritual couch potato, and he doesn't know half the stuff that's going on in the home. You know, we just throw him some food and he grunts every once in a while. That's not the picture Scripture gives us. The only picture they may see of a true godly home may be the picture that you give to them by extending hospitality to them, by asking them, come spend time with me. Come spend time in my home. And as you do that, what you're really asking them to is watch Christ work in our home. Be exposed to that. Hospitality. How about this? A help out in childcare. No one ever wants to do that, right? Especially when you're with the little ones. We call it the poopy department, you know? That's where you have to change out all the diapers and everything. What about volunteering there? Listen, I don't know about your church, but every church I've been in, including our church, the one who is in charge of getting together the child care is always struggling. Always having to fill slots for the next month. Always having to make a couple of calls. Volunteer for that. Tell them, I will help there. I will serve there. Pray fervently for others. We talked about that before. How about this one? If you have people who are old enough and they're shut-ins, but they actually can get out of the house, they just need a lot of help. How about, a lot of you guys have your license already. Some of you do. How about just saying, you know what, I'll do that. I understand so-and-so who's at the convalescent center is able-bodied enough to come to church, has a desire to come to church. You know what? Put me on a list. I will go and I will pick her up or pick him up and I'll bring him to church and I'll take him back. It'd be great help serving others. How about encouraging missionaries? How about writing a letter to a missionary who's serving? Maybe serving here, maybe serving overseas, sending a text message, sending an email. What about this? How about being willing to babysit for parents so that those parents can then in turn serve other people? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about just calling some parents in your church and saying, is there any way you're serving others? And in doing so, you need someone to watch the 3-year-old or the 5-year-old. Whenever the next time you're needing to do that, give me a call. I would love to watch your child while you go and serve someone else. See, I mean, you just need to think about these things. Disciple younger believers in the faith. What a great way to serve other people. Just directly helping them grow in the faith. I mean, what spiritual service that is. Share the gospel with other people. I have down here written, last thing here, get involved in youth ministry. I don't know. I know you guys are all here on the youth retreat, but I don't know how involved you are in your individual churches, youth ministries. Maybe every one of you are full gear, full tilt, totally involved. That's great. That's awesome. You're living this out. But if you're just, you know, hit or miss, this is a great way to serve. Get fully involved in the ministry that your church has regarding youth. So this is why we should serve. Ultimately, we serve for the glory of God. For the glory of God. We want to obey Him and we want to glorify Him as we, number one, serve Him, and number two, serve others. Now, just two book recommendations, very fast. Number one, again, this is a very tiny book. I don't know if any of you guys ever read a blog put out by a guy named Tim Challies. If not, I would encourage you to do so. It's a pretty good blog. But him and some others started a little publishing company called Cruciform Press. And they just wanted to publish small little succinct books on various topics. And they have a great one on service. It's called Servanthood as Worship, The Privilege of Life in a Local Church. And Nate Palmer is the author of that book. And then the second thing I would recommend to you is a book I've already recommended to you, but it's Donald Whitney's Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life. He's got a great chapter in that book titled Serving for the Purpose of Godliness. I would very much commend that to your reading. So with that, thank y'all very much. Y'all have been very attentive, very astute. And let us close our final session with prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that you have called us to serve. Father, you have brought us into your work, Lord, and the things that you are doing with other believers in building them up and in edifying them, Father. You have called us to be a part of that work by our own service one to another. So, Father, I pray that you help us in this. Help us in our personal ministry, Father, whether it's ministry toward you, our ministry out toward others, Father, that we would grow in our heart's desire to serve, that we would be a willing sacrifice, laying ourselves down for the means and for the reason of service, Father. And we pray that in our serving, we would have the proper attitudes, we would have the right hearts, doing it for the right reasons, not for any type of guilt reasons or legalistic type reasons, but understanding what you have done for us being obedient to your word and doing it out of a heart of gratitude. Father, may this be the case in all of our lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.